In this episode, you'll discover how to warm up your audience of prospects as you lean in to remote selling.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey-o! All right. And the quarantine mushes on. Yep, I'm here at the office all by my lonesome, just powering through the snack cupboard here at Wirebuzz in Scottsdale, Arizona. I sure hope that you and your family are safe. I know how tricky of a time this is. And I'm grateful that you're using this time. You're like investing this time into your life so you can get better. So instead of slowing down, you should be planting seeds. We're going to talk about this in my interview with Jason McElhone. Oh, man. McElhone. You're going to notice I screw his name up every single time that I say it. I think it's McElhone. And yet, I'd bet against me. I totally would. Throughout the interview, I just screwed up almost every time, and he was so gracious. This is a really fun interview. There's a lot of smart conversation. Jason's like a rock star getting people on the phone and developing that relationship and warming them up for the sale. He's also really skilled at how to get a meeting 30 days from now when somebody's life is chaotic like everybody's life is right now. All of these are important lessons for you as you start planting seeds that you can harvest 30, 60, 90 days down the road when they allow us and they unleash us back on the world again to do great things. And before I get to Jason, it's my hope that you use this time to advance your business and your prospects and your opportunities. I see a lot of people that are giving up on themselves right now, giving up on the opportunity to impact their life or their clients, and they're sleeping in, or they're taking naps in the middle of the day, or they're burning too much time on Pornhub. Pornhub has a really good blog. And I know it sounds funny, but they have a marketing blog. And if you go and look at their latest data, it's showing that there are a lot of people that are investing time on Pornhub. And they might be up like a 25 or 35% over in just the US alone. This quarantine time over their normal times. I went and looked leading up to this podcast episode. I did a little research because I'm interested in finding out how people are investing their time. And a good number of people are trying to ride this thing out. But as a frequent listener of this podcast, you know, you're not going to ride this out because this isn't going to be going back to life as normal. There is a new normal. I'm going to spend a future episode talking with you about that. Just know I'm preparing it behind the scenes, what life's going to be like and how you can dominate by talking to a variety of experts. But first, it's important you think about how you warm up your audience of prospects when you're in remote sales to get them to know, like, and trust you. And few do it better than Jason McElhone. I just screwed it up. Oh, dude. Anyway, here's Jason.
All right, I'm joined right now by Jason McElhone. Jason is the CEO of Remote Sales. He helps companies grow faster. And if you follow on LinkedIn, you've run into his videos one time or another. Jason, welcome to the Toddcast.
Hey, Todd, appreciate you having me. It's awesome to be here.
A lot of fun, man. So look, I'm totally entertained by you. I love the topic. I want to get into remote sales. I want to talk about what salespeople could be doing right now. But if we could, let's just start at the very beginning. And before we get into remote sales even, right now we're in the middle of the coronavirus. We are quarantined in our homes. I'm the only one here at the office. You are, I take it, at your home. Is that where you are right now?
Yeah, I'm just outside of Atlanta in my house.
Okay. And so business is naturally totally different in this kind of environment. I'm, in our adult lives, we've only seen this happen a couple of times, but you specialize in remote sales. Let's start with remote sales pre-coronavirus. Like in the old world, what was considered remote sales?
Such a great question. I started off actually in the early 90s as a stockbroker. I was working in South Florida. So think Wolf of Wall Street, Boiler Room, I grew up for the first 7 years in a giant pit with 200 or 300 other guys. I actually knew, as I mentioned in my last video, Jordan Belfort's crew. They were out of New York. There were sister companies in Florida that I was a part of. So that whole wild and crazy days of the early to mid 90s is what I was brought up in. And I did my damnedest to get out of there and eventually did.
Yes. All right. So remote sales is really, it's different today now, kind of during coronavirus, than it was pre-coronavirus. But how would you describe remote sales? Because it's such a big term that sometimes when I drop it on people, they almost are spinning around a little confused.
Yeah. And if I could segue from what I just mentioned, I eventually, after about 7 years into a 14-year brokerage career, I built a house in Delray Beach, and my office was in a corner bedroom overlooking the pool. And we had 600 franchises across the country. I was one of them. So as long as back then, this is pre-internet, pre-social media, as long as you had an internet connection and you can get your screen and your stocks in front of you and you had a desktop phone back then, that's all you needed. And there were guys making six and seven figures remotely back in the, you know, the late 90s and early 2000s before the Facebooks, Twitters, and YouTube showed up.
So this is cold calling, right? I mean, this is old school cold calling, ice breaking, developing a relationship, adding value, getting to the next stage.
Exactly. We had Dun & Bradstreet's guard. So, you know, we were calling accredited investors, $1 million net worth and up. You usually had a stack about 3 or 4 inches high, and it was, you know, one after another. And in a good day, you could get through 300 or 400 if you were just cold calling. Now, if you were managing money, as I was later on in my career, you know, 100, 150 calls. And again, this was before auto dialers or a service like Connect and Sell. So reps today have, Todd, so many new features in addition to social media, conversations on demand with a Connect and Sell, LinkedIn, YouTube, all this stuff digital that we didn't have back in the day.
Yeah. And now in this world, are you talking with people about those kind of technologies as you're starting to like coach them up and train them so they could be more of a boss when they're picking up those phones?
Yeah. So there's the old school phone, email, and now social. Right. And we're bringing in new technologies now that everyone's in lockdown and going virtual, or at least trying to, like a Zoom, you've got iPhone, FaceTime, etc. But it still comes back to X's and O's, blocking and tackling. Somebody's got to pick up the phone. Somebody's got to be sending out the email. Somebody's got to be engaging and creating content on social media in order to, you know, raise awareness, develop the brand, and warm up the audience, so to speak.
Okay, I got it. I started in a very similar way. I was at a radio station, and the station sucked so badly they didn't have any ratings, and I was the only salesperson there because everybody else was too smart and they all left. So I had the whole territory of Phoenix, which meant I could go anywhere, knock on any door. And in year one, my goal was to sell $32,000. They needed me to sell. So $32,000. You can do that. And in year one, I got 1,100 no's before I got my first yes. And that first yes, they paid $2,000. And 2 weeks later, they were gone. And it basically just keeps starting over, right? So I know it's a really tricky business. It takes a lot of optimism and patience and savvy along the way in a moment like this. Because, dude, this is like a whole new environment for a lot of people. This is a crisis moment. What is it that a salesperson should be doing during crisis?
The big E word is hot right now, empathy. You've got to have empathy. And I don't want to overplay it because some people, you know, are doing that as we speak. But you've got to take into consideration, even for guys like me, everybody wants to go virtual right now. I've got tons of conversations going on from small to mid-sized companies, but there's no budget.
Right.
We got caught with our pants down. We didn't have Zoom. We don't have virtual technology. We've never had people working from home before. But when we get through this, we need to talk to somebody like you. So business for me is going to be booming in 3 or 4 months. But right now, I'm in the same position as everybody else. So I've done a number of videos in the last week or two where you can't, like the one I did yesterday, is never stop selling.
Okay.
The budgets are not there. Even well-capitalized companies, Todd, are still sitting on the wallet until they can see the whites of the eyes. Probably when the virus crests in the next 2 weeks to a month, some of the bigger well-capitalized companies are going to start hiring. They're going to pull back in some of the folks they let go. It's the small startups like a restaurant that are really, you know, yeah, under a hard rock as we speak. But you got to be reaching out to still probe for problems, connect, engage, and probe for problems. Not going to be able to write the check or hand over the credit card right now, but you can certainly say, hey, under normal circumstances, Todd, I help small businesses like yourself cut their healthcare insurance by as much as 29%. Great to know, Jason. Don't have the money to do that right now, but let's reconnect in a month.
Yeah. Okay, so now is the time to be planting seeds, meaning developing relationships, scheduling them down the road so you could follow up when those sprouts start to come back and there's green shoots coming out of the soil that's showing health again. You've already got your time. And I think there's a lot of people that during this crisis are sitting on their couch crushing Netflix when they should be planting seeds. Am I right?
You may have seen the video I did in my truck about 4 days ago when I dropped 10 F-bombs because I keep hearing stories of my fellow sales and marketing friends that are treating it as a staycation.
Right.
So I've been screaming at the top of my lungs for 2 weeks now, amping up the content because I went through 9/11 on Wall Street, and I've talked about that numerous times where I had a lot of no's. The worst beating I ever took, Todd, was the 2 weeks after 9/11 because nerves were raw when I was calling into Manhattan, Chicago, and Miami. Nobody wanted to talk to me yet. But when I called them back in a month, as I'm trying to tell people now, reach out now. If they're willing to talk, talk to them. But reschedule that meeting in a month, even longer if necessary, because when you call them back and they say, are you a sales guy? Do I know who you are? Yeah, as a matter of fact, you do. I called you in the middle of COVID-19 on April the 7th, in fact. You told me your brother was losing a restaurant. You didn't have time to talk to me. So here I am calling you back. That's going to get you a lot of respect from, right, you know, the quote unquote decision makers that are going to still have problems that need to be solved when this thing goes away.
All right. So a big part of this is really adding value, I understand, right? Like if you plant seeds, but there's no value, whatever sprouts isn't going to be worth harvesting. So I think what you're saying is when you do call, provide significant value. So the next time you circle back, they'll remember you. They'll think, damn, that guy's smart. How do you add value in a time like this?
Digital transformation. I've seen you on LinkedIn. A number of your videos are absolutely fantastic. What I've told sales reps that they need to do is go into Sales Navigator or get a list provider like a Seamless.ai and build out your target list. Let's say you've got 100 companies you're going after, 200 or 300 contacts or key personas in each. You then need to reach out and engage in their content. Get on the radar without any sales ask. So let's say that you were a prospect of mine. Right. I would watch for when you dropped the video and I'd say, hey, Todd, really interesting when you mentioned X. I wouldn't have any sales ask there. Mm-hmm. But 2 weeks later or right now in the middle of COVID, I would call you. And at that point, you've seen me. You've seen me engage with your content. I've shown genuine interest in you first. And then I probe around to see if you're willing to talk to me about a problem that I can solve. If the nerves are raw like they were in 9/11, I say, hey, no problem. Why don't we reschedule and reconnect in a month or in 2 months? And the while that we wait, I'm cranking out my own content. So I'm engaging in Todd's. I'm creating brand awareness with you without any sales ask. And then I'm doing my own. And right now I've been blessed with 50,000 LinkedIn followers and up to 2 million views a month. So when I do call on people, it's, oh, Jason, I know you. I like your videos. What's up? Yep. Well, I need you to write me a check. Okay, how much? $2,000. Let's go.
Okay, so for people that are listening, when Jason's talking about planting seeds, I know it was my term, but starting and developing the relationships, this can happen in multiple ways. It could happen on cold calling. It could happen by creating really powerful videos that give somebody some kind of value. Or you can reach out to people on LinkedIn, chat it up, add value in their conversations. And in doing that, instead of crushing Netflix, you've now invested that time to turn it into something that in 30 days, that person will remember you, they'll know, like, and trust you, and you could then get that meeting that's going to turn into revenue. Am I close?
You're 100% dead on the money, Todd. Exactly that. It's a multi-channel digital world. It's not just about smiling and dialing. In fact, if you're a pure play call center, you're out of business in the next few years. You've got to have a multi-channel email, phone, text, social, events, direct mail, digital marketing, which is what you're into. 7 or 8 different touch points at all times, because the thing that we're watching right now, Google is going to index this. So there's going to be information that people can find on Todd and Jason. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, when they're not talking to a sales rep, they can digest this podcast and they could say, gee, you know, Todd does digital marketing. We need some of that. I'm not getting calls from Todd at 2 in the morning, but because I can now watch Todd's content, I either reach out to him or when he reaches out to me to plant that seed, I know who Todd is.
Yes. Okay. I love this. So yesterday I planted seeds. Yesterday I filmed 7 videos here in the office going old school like I did before the team was here, because there is no team now. And so I cranked out videos running my own camera, running my teleprompter, and coaching myself through the next take and so on. But now people are editing those videos because starting in a couple of days, my seeds on social will all be starting to be planted so they can sprout, so I can harvest when we can open up. And it sounds like, Jason, when you're working with people, what you're doing is they're more like Swiss Army knives. Like, they just don't have the phone and they can't blow people up. You got to come out from multiple directions. Is that right?
Yes. And we're making the transition from push, like the old days of download my white paper and give us your email address to subscribe to our newsletter. They're finished. The buyer is in control. You know, we talk about the customer experience or CX in retail. It's now coming to B2B. The buyer is control. 70% of the buyer's journey is done online before they want to engage a sales rep. Well, if you're hiding behind a desk and all you do is make 200 phone calls a day, you've only got one bullet in the 7-bullet gun that I just mentioned. But if you're doing the calls and you're sending out the emails and you're engaging on social and you're doing texting and you're going to events and you're networking locally and you're doing direct mail combined in a cadence that reaches out to a select group of target markets, so to speak, it's a 24/7 operation that's not push, it's pull. If I'm listening to Todd's podcast, he's pulling me in.
Right.
And you just mentioned something that's really crucial. Only 1% of social media creates content. That's a fact. It's been that way for over 10 years. There's something called the 90-9-1 lurker rule. You can look it up on Google. It's refreshed every year. 90% of social lurks, 9% heavily engaged, 1% create content. So for everyone like you that starts doing 7 videos while everyone else is smoking pot, somebody else leaves because they get tired of the haters or they feel too much pressure to create. But the advantage to you is when everyone else is not in front of the camera or not getting out on the firing lines and willing to take a punch, you're 99% ahead of everybody else because they're not doing what you are.
Right. Right. I think it's important. You know, it's like I've always, my whole life, man, I've been like salmon. As everybody swam one way, I've swam the other. Even when I go to like a business conference, people go into the exhibit hall. I go to talk to the speaker. When people go to see the speaker, I go into the exhibit hall. Like, I'm the opposite, but it's always worked for me that way. And now we're in this time where instead of being timid and fearful of picking up the phone, you've got to be clever and innovative. And I love the approach of coming at it from multiple ways, if it's social, if it's email, if it's telephone. And when I was a on-air reporter, you know, you mentioned 9/11, I was on air that day. I'm embarrassed to say it, but dude, you're going to love this. So I'm trying to get guests for our show that's coming up, number one show in the state and in Arizona. And so I've figured I'm going to call the architect of the World Trade Center's office to land an interview with him. I did this at like 10 that morning because I want to know about the structure of the building. And I want to, you know, start having those kind of conversations, add value to my audience. When I called the phone, boom, I looked it up online. I called the number. A lady answered the phone. I said, I'd like to speak with Mr. So-and-so so I could interview him live on the radio. Da-da-da-da-da-da. She says, Mr. So-and-so died 15 years ago. Click. Dude, it was already a rough day. And that just crushed me. Now I felt like a jerk. But the reality is you get right up and you do it again and you pick up another phone and you start all over again. And I'm sure you've had that experience more than you'd care to tell.
I've made literally, and I've talked about this before, 1 million cold calls in the last 30 years.
Wow.
The first 15 years on Wall Street, it was 300 or 400 dials a day. If I wasn't managing money, if I was managing money, I still got at least 100 to 150 calls. Now you can use something like Connect and Sell, and you can make $1 million dials, or their agents will, in 3 years. So you can call 1 million people now, 1,000 plus a day, with a Connect and Sell. Reach out to Chris Beal. He'll hook up with the free trial. In 3 years. So if you're developing a brand as you are, if you're creating content as you are, if you're doing podcasts that are getting indexed on Google so that when the buyer's journey looks up Todd Hartley, they're sucking in your content at all hours of the day based on their own timeline, not Todd's. So back in the day when I started, all we had was a number. There was no internet, or of course invented it. There was no social media. There was no LinkedIn. There was no Twitter. There was none of this stuff. Yeah. I just did 3 videos that got over 200,000 views.
Right.
How long would it take me to get 200,000 people to answer the phone? Years.
Right.
So when you add that with email and phone, you're going to get about a quarter of your audience over time, Todd, that'll recognize you when you call.
All right. So I love this. I also love the process of optimization. And I learned optimization as a digital marketer with dealing with search engine optimization or content optimization. But as somebody who picks up the phone, you also, or as a speaker, you're also in a constant stage of optimizing the process. What do you learn from a call that allows you in the next call to polish and perfect so you could be that much more valuable and persuasive? What is that process like for you, the iteration process?
Yeah, the first 10 seconds of any call are crucial. And I learned 30 years ago, my mentor, 2 things I want to share with you. He said, Jason, this is when I first got my license in 1992. He said, sales is 98% rejecting, 98% rejection, but the other 2% will make you rich. Now get your ass on the phone and make some calls. And he was absolutely right. There is no shiny object, Todd, that's going to eliminate the fact that 90% of calls are going to go to voice. That's a fact.
Right.
As good as I am, and I'm really, really good, I think, on the phone, I still lose more than I win. You know, it's the old saying, you win some, you lose some. No, not in sales. You win some, you lose most.
Right.
Most reps are going to have to speak to 10 decision makers to get one meeting booked. I may have to speak to 7, but it still means that Jason's going to get kicked around, or at least here, not now, 2/3 of the time. What separates the men from the boys, the ladies from the girls, is can you take it? That's all it is. Can you take the grind day in and day out? Yes, you can use technology. Yes, you can create podcasts and do videos as I do. But somebody still has to get on the phone, have a proper open, i.e. get permission to speak. We also were told never present in the face of no interest. So don't pitch someone when they're all sour or snarly until they say the floor is yours.
Okay, so how do you get permission?
I've been doing the same way for 15 years. I got this from Ari Galper, unlockthegame.com. I've mentioned this before. It's unlockthegame.com. He's out of Australia. He's been making 7 figures training Fortune 500 for decades. And he's all about asking for help at the open of the call. Years ago, it used to be, hey, Todd, it's Jason over at XYZ. Maybe you could help me out for a moment. That key phrase, maybe, you don't have to. You, most important word in human language,
right.
Help, when someone asks for help, very difficult to say no. And for a moment, meaning it's not going to go on forever. At that point, they don't know if I'm a salesperson, a colleague, or a candidate. It's a very effective opener 97% of the time. Now they've kind of modernized it to say, Todd, I'm hoping that you could help me out for a moment. So the moral of the story in terms of my open is get permission to speak by asking for help. Others will say, you know, Gong says, hey, how you been? That kind of implies that I've talked to you before. Is that true? I don't know. Connect and sell will say, you got 27 seconds to hear why I'm calling. 27 is an odd number. It creates curiosity. They say, sure, Todd, what do you got?
Right.
So if you get permission to speak, it creates a mutually beneficial environment and it makes the call a hell of a lot easier.
I like the help approach because we all see ourselves as being helpful one way or another. So it's also, you have your guard down. Somebody asks for help. You're like, yeah, sure. How can I help you? Right. I mean, there's like a really nice balance to that. And I'm particularly a fan of the entire process. Everything from when you meet to when you schedule the meeting to when they come into your office, how you use remote technologies like Wistia's soapbox to follow up after a first meeting. I like with a video, a personalized video. And I love knowing when people are opening and watching those videos because it tells me how interested they are. So for me, it's like I keep looking at the process like I'm optimizing a piece of content. And every time I get to a different stage, I look at it like an opportunity for a leak. And I want to make sure that that leak is plugged so that lead continues to flow through the system. And I even get to this point, and I know you'll love this, I get to this point where as I go to submit the proposal, I do it every time over the phone with a shared screen, and I position that proposal meeting as a working proposal meeting. First, I'm asking for help, right? So we're going to have a meeting, and what I'm going to need from you is some guidance, because when we get off this call, it needs to be 100% dialed in for you so you can march down the hall and present it to the rest of your team. Are you cool with that? And they're like, yeah, sure. In their head, they're like, we've already spent a lot of time. I'd be foolish to not help you get this proposal where I need it to be, right? So then we get on that call and it removes all sticker shock. I optimize it so there isn't like, what are you doing? We didn't want that. And then when I send it, instead of sending with a PDF, I record a screen grab video with Soapbox and I walk through it. They need to see that I've got like real eyes and I make eye contact and I got all my chiclets in my mouth and all these things are going right. You know what I mean? And they need to see that I'm like a real legit dude, right? And then when I send it, I put in the email, please reply back confirming that you were able to access the video below. And there's a video there with a play button that they can watch. But then the reason I've got that, please reply back. So confirming that you were able to open the video below is because if in 24 hours they don't reply back, I've given myself plausible permission to be a little aggressive, which isn't my normal. My normal flow is like, you know, I'm going to kind of flow in with you. And you could tell by me wanting to schedule that collaborative meeting. But if they don't open that, I'm going to lose out on the opportunity. So I've got to make sure they open it. When they open it, I get the data. And then I know if they're really interested because they're going to share it with their team or not.
That was 5 minutes of pure brilliance, man, by the way.
I felt bad doing that.
No, that needs to be recorded into a 5-minute YouTube and put out on the internet. I mean, that was pretty badass. One thing that you said that's so important. There's an old saying, if you mail, you fail. It goes way back to my brokerage days. Do not email a proposal. So when you said, I get on a Zoom or I get on a GoToMeeting and I share it with them, that's absolutely crucial because I know tons of salespeople watching right now. The prospect will say, send me the proposal. They'll end up emailing it over. There'll be something, whether it's the price, whether it's the delivery, whether it's the time frame, that's not in sync with what they were thinking, and you're being flushed down the toilet before you even begin. So take what Todd just said totally to heart. Deliver it face-to-face, and if you can't do that, do it by way of Zoom or go to meeting because it's absolutely crucial.
And thank you. That last piece they will never be able to explain what you provide with the same level of clarity and excitement and passion that you provide it. So you've got to get on camera and then you've got to tell them, share this with the rest of your decision-making team. Because once they do that, all they have to do is push the play button and then they sit back and answer the extra questions. And I think you know this one. If there's if there's any questions that come up through the sales process, add that into that video, because that may come from the committee that's going to review. And just missing one of those questions would be something that could landmine your entire proposal. So I love this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd for it. I can tell you are too.
At Google and at Amazon, two of the largest, most powerful companies in the world, they basically outlawed PowerPoint. So to everybody watching right now, you've got to be very, very careful about too many slides.
Yep.
Because tell me if you've all seen this. You pull up your deck, and usually in the lower left-hand corner, it'll show all the slides going all the way down. And at the bottom, it'll say 46. And that's when you'll see a couple of people lean back and go, holy shit, we're going to have to be here for 2 hours. I don't think so. So I'm a big fan of using very few slides, or what you might call an infographic. You know, Amazon's big on put a picture up of a guy going out the window and tell a story about how this is your business if you don't go virtual, i.e. through COVID. So be very, very careful with the amount of decks that you go to. Another thing, just really quick, that I love to start a meeting with is, if let's say you've got a half a dozen slides, let everybody know up front, oh, by the way, we've only got a half a dozen slides to get to, and we'll be in and out of here in less than an hour.
Yeah.
And you'll notice people sit right up. Someone will go, anybody want coffee? This is only going to take an hour. So tell everybody up front what they're about to get into. And it's not going to be like a proctology exam that goes on for hours. It's going to be done and over with in an hour or less.
Yes.
And they're going to really engage. And you might even see the boss look around and say, pay attention. This is going to be over before it starts.
Now, Jason, recognizing that you have your 50th birthday coming up and you just referenced a proctology visit, is that just coincidental? No, don't worry. You don't have to answer it. But men typically, when they turn 50, this is the time. And I wish you the best of luck with that. Dude, you're a lot of fun to talk with. I mean, I knew this was going to be fun. I didn't know it would be this much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have to do this again. I feel like I could talk to you for 10 hours.
And totally.
We still wouldn't get it all covered, Todd. So let's do this again, maybe on the other side of COVID.
Absolutely. But tell me, like, what services you provide. And if I'm somebody in the audience that could benefit from you, like, how do I get a hold of you? And how can you help lift up my business?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. There's two things. First of all, I founded a company called Remote Sales a year ago, almost to the day, April of 2019. And there's two aspects there. There's a consulting aspect where I'll go into an organization, i.e. now with COVID-19, and say, here's what's wrong with your organization. Here's what you have to do in order to go remote, i.e. virtual. The other aspect of remote sales is we'll not only go in and consult in terms of how to go virtual or remote, but we'll also spin up an inside or remote sales team. So that's the whole remote sales. I can consult with you on what you need to do to get fully virtual, but I can also amass, hire, train, and manage a remote sales team on behalf of small to mid-sized companies. The other thing that's really exploding right now is remoteonline.com. We had so much interest beyond sales in 20 categories that I signed a deal about 9 months ago with ZipRecruiter, arguably one of the best job boards on the planet. So that if someone lists a job with me at Remote Online, it goes on the top 100 boards, around the world for $150.
Boom.
So I put them on LinkedIn, I put them on Monster, Indeed, Glassdoor, and 96 other sites for one low price. And if you're a job seeker, and this is what's exploding right now, you can sign up for free. You load your resume, you can show your Twitter, you can do a 5-minute video, and you can apply to an unlimited number of jobs. My advice, apply for at least 10 to get one that you love. So it's remotesales.com, remoteonline.com, on LinkedIn under my name, and now YouTube that I just started this past week.
He's Jason McHone. Did I get that right?
McElhone.
McElhone. Yeah, dude. What is wrong with me? He's Jason McElhone, and like, he's super talented on all things about remote sales. Jason, this is the most fun I've had in a long time, especially during the quarantine. Thank you for helping me get out of the house to have a smart conversation and to learn about remoteonline.com. Thank you so much for joining me, man.
Thanks a lot, Todd. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, super cool to have Jason on the podcast. If you haven't started following Jason on LinkedIn, what are you waiting for? He drops knowledge bombs on LinkedIn throughout the week, and his content is so damn good. It's raw, it's funny, it's real. He's not filtering it. and you will enjoy learning from Jason just as much as you've learned and enjoyed that experience here on this podcast. Jason McElholm, thank you so much for joining. I think I nailed it that time. Like, I'm feeling good about it this time. Jason, thank you so much for putting up with me. And for the rest of you that want to learn how to figure out how to select the right topics for your business, we created a topic selection worksheet that you can have access to. Helps you narrow down the ones that are going to be profitable for your business and the unique set of circumstances in which you sell. All you have to do to get access to it is go to wirebuzz.com/topics with an S. And I will continue to do my job. Every time I'm here, I take a bottle of wine from the wine fridge at the office and bring it home so I can continue to do my research on your behalf and bring you the latest information in the world of video marketing so you could be a video marketing master. Peace.